You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the Westside Community News, and today, continuing on with some free agency notes before finally shifting gears from free agency and talking about Summer League. The Pacers play their first Summer League game tomorrow on Friday, if you can believe that. First look at Benedict Mathurin, some of the other new guys, some older faces, some important players for them. So what we'll do today is first segment, we'll cover some free agency news and notes because there are some updates after yesterday's show still going on for the Pacers. And then we'll pivot to talking about Summer League, the stuff to watch there. The key players to watch, the key stuff to watch on the court as the Pacers enter really a new era of young guys. They have a lot of their NBA players on their Summer League team, which is both reflective of the Pacers roster and of the talent on their Summer League team. But we'll start with the free agency news and notes. Did not expect to be doing this today, but learned quite a bit today. We'll start with Jalen Smith, the big story. Everybody's been asking forever about his contract situation. Jalen Smith's deal. Scott Agnes had the report. I can confirm 3 years in total length. It was originally two. Scott got this part of the report. They tweaked it to three and did a 2 years guaranteed and a third-year player option. Awesome news for the Pacers. Now they have Smith through the life of where his contract is limited, and if Smith continues to play well for them, even if he turns down his player option after the second year, they'll have his full bird rights, no more contract limitations. They can offer him whatever he's worth at that stage. There you go. No more limitations for Smith. He doesn't have to deal with the 5.95 constraint next year. So good reporting from Scott. I'm glad I was able to confirm that as well. And 15%, or excuse me, percentage not listed. But there is a trade kicker in this per Scott as well, which is fascinating. So they put all the bells and whistles in to try to convince Jalen Smith to stay in Indy, the player option, the trade kicker, everything that is pro player. To entice him to stay because they were limited in what they could offer in the first year of this deal and even the second year next year. So to entice Jalen Smith, they had to offer him these kind of things, a player option. That way if he gets hurt or if he stinks again like he did for a little bit of time in Phoenix, he's protected. He gets a bunch of money. And if he clicks, great. He can get out of the deal and have full bird rights with a team that he likes or just be on the free agent market. At the same time, he would have been anyway, but he'll be an unrestricted free agent at that time, which is also great for him. But the other big part of this Jalen Smith stuff is when he went into free agency, he said, I want opportunity. And a lot of what I talked about needing to happen for the Pacers to keep Smith did happen. Teams that could have given him opportunity used their resources either in the draft or early in free agency right away. And thus, it was easier for the Pacers to negotiate knowing they had that opportunity backing. And that was something I said is he should be in the rotation in the 4-5. He should be in the mix to play every game. That is something the Pacers can offer that not every team can offer. Well, look, lo and behold, Jalen Smith officially signed now, by the way. He's officially on the Pacers contract books. He signed it in front of a bunch of Pacers employees and media today, yesterday for you all listening. And it was learned at that press conference. Rick Carlisle was there. Kevin Pritchard was there. Probably the last time they'll speak before they go out to Las Vegas for Summer League. Rick said, this guy is our starting power forward. You know, that is paraphrasing. That's not his exact quote. But he no mixed words at all. This is our starting four. I'll pull up the quote because I tweeted it during the presser. It very much stood out to me. He has signed to be our starting power forward, was what Carlisle said. So I think that clears that up with no uncertain terms. I thought that maybe O'Shea would be in that mix or Isaiah Jackson, but it makes a ton of sense to start Jalen Smith. Rick absolutely loves Jalen Smith. Whoever the five is, if it's Miles, if it's Goga, if it's Isaiah Jackson, whatever, there's still room for Jalen to be the four. And back to Twin Towers for the Pacers, but Smith could really shoot it last year. If that continues, that will be a no-problem situation for him, and his mobility on defense could allow him to do that. He played four at Maryland quite often, so I don't have a problem with this. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Pacers, and if it took that commitment, yes, you will start for us at the four. To convince him to sign this contract, one that I think is very good, from a Pacers perspective, then great. You tell him that that's there and you offer it to him and you start him as long as you possibly can. That was a big thing for Jalen Smith and for the Pacers to get him on this deal and to get him to be the starting power forward. Huge deals all around. So that's great, great stuff for the Pacers. Jalen loves playing in Indiana. You know, he talked about that a lot this day, and he heard all your Twitter jokes about no one saying his name because if people said his name, all these people could search for him and figure out he was playing well for the Pacers. He said those jokes were very funny. So Jalen Smith back with the Pacers officially on a three-year deal, 2 years on the front end, and then a player option in that third year with, as Scott Agnes reports, a trade kicker. Great, great deal for the Pacers to me. That's a good bit of negotiating. And Smith, if he wanted to come back, I mean, it's a great deal for him as well. Regardless if I think he could have got more money elsewhere, if he's the happiest he could have been, then he chose the right deal. That's not the only free agency news we got on this random day. The moratorium is over, so now teams can make moves and stuff official. The only thing that was official in the Pacers' orbit is the Jalen Smith deal. TJ Warren, not official yet. Sumner hasn't happened yet. I'm sure the Nets will do some... I guess they could do it. Anyway, Ricky Rubio, not official yet. Nothing is official yet. Not even Kendall Brown or Andrew Nembhard have become official yet on the Pacers front. The only thing that is Jalen Smith. But something else did happen as the moratorium ended. Scott Agnes again with the report. Scott, thank you for writing two articles today that I can reference both of to do this segment. I was only going to talk about Jalen. Dwayne Washington has pushed back his contract guarantee date. This is very surprising to me. So his contract, Dwayne Washington's, was set to fully guarantee if he was on the team past July 6th, which was yesterday. For me talking, it's right now. So that meant his contract would go from non-guaranteed to fully guaranteed at the minimum on July 6th. On the 7th, he'd be fully guaranteed. Scott reports that that date has been pushed back to July 15th, and that is allowed to do. A team and a player can agree to push a guarantee date back if they would like to. That is allowed. Now, both parties have to agree. Remember, if you would like a history lesson on why this can behoove a player, last summer, Keelan Martin had a guarantee date pretty early in free agency. And he was probably going to get cut as of the first date, so he pushed it back to late August last summer. And then, during that one-month period, during that gap in between when he pushed it back and when it was, Edmund Sumner got hurt, and Jeremy Lamb ended up not getting traded. And all of a sudden, the Pacers were like, oh crap, we need some quality wings. And so they kept him even further. They pushed it back to behind training camp, and then he impresses in preseason and camp, and they're like, all right, we'll just keep him into the season, and boom, he wins. He pushed it back, and he made the team. It worked out great for everybody. So that's why players could do it. If they sense an opportunity could be there in a couple months that isn't there now, and they're afraid they're going to get cut right now, sometimes they push it back. But I don't think Dwayne, I don't know this. This is just speculation for me. I don't think Dwayne Washington was in any risk of getting cut. That's why this surprises me, because that's the most obvious reason this would happen is if they were actually going to cut him on Wednesday, which would be surprising to me, but again, maybe. So it's hard for me to think of a reason that this would happen, because again, Dwayne Washington has to agree, and this isn't like a really long layover of time. You know, Keelan Martin pushed his back over 3 weeks. You know, Dwayne Washington pushed his back to like the day they get home from Summer League, basically, and he's going to play. He's on the Summer League team. If he gets hurt in Summer League, now he's non-guaranteed. You know, like these sort of things all play into this, and that's why I'm pretty surprised Dwayne Washington did this. So I was searching for reasoning today because, I mean, why? You know, this is interesting. I get why the Pacers would want this. It's obvious. If you're the Pacers, you're really thrilled about this. You now have more flexibility going forward. You have a guy you can waive to free up $1.6 million in space if you need to, or you could trade him, and part of his deal could have to be guaranteed in a trade to count him as salary. But you don't have to fully guarantee it, so that would be a win for the other team. So that makes him, I guess, a little more tradable if that was on the table. But again, I don't really see a ton of benefit for Dwayne. I get why the Pacers would want this. If it was up to them, every non-guaranteed contract would be all the way up till January 10th, the last day they're allowed to have non-guaranteed deals. But for Dwayne, I mean, I guess if they said we're going to cut you unless you do this, he would do this. But this is, again, just speculation, but I don't see why they would have said that. You know, the Pacers get more flexibility, sure, and maybe some extra trade options ever so slightly open, but I'm very surprised to see this happen, and because of all the surprise I have, you know, I think about the salary cap a lot. I talk to a lot of people about it to try to get every nuance and nook and cranny covered, and if I totally don't understand something, you know what that usually means? Either there's something I'm totally missing or something is coming. So in that case, it could be something extremely minor. It could be a small tweak to something. It could be something huge. I don't know. But I think something that will provide clarity on this is coming, because as of now, I just don't get it. And that's usually how these things go. Like when Keelan Martin pushed his back to just late August last year, I was like, I don't get that, but it worked out for him. So as usual with this stuff, teams and players and agents are way smarter than me. They have way more information. I can only talk about what I know, and I don't know everything. So this one is perplexing to me, and I can't give you a ton of good coverage on it, but I will, of course, cover it as more details come in and as Dwayne Washington's future with the Pacers is determined in the next 9 days, because now he has until July 15th to sort that out, which is through Summer League. Perfect segue into segment number two here. Let's talk about Summer League. What's coming for the Pacers? What are the key guys to watch? And they have a lot of NBA talent on that team, which is where we will start this discussion. But before we talk about that, guys, let me talk to you about rockauto.com, who are bringing you this episode. And with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of vehicles, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. You go in there, you endure the pointless questioning from the guy behind the counter who asks you stuff you don't know and about parts they don't even have, so then they have to order it to the store, then you gotta go back and get it. It's a huge drug-on process that should not be that long. Instead, you have a computer or a phone, you can go to rockauto.com and save time and money. Why choose to spend more money from that chain store or dealership when you could save time and money at Rock Auto? They're a family business who have been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are always reliably low, and they have everything you could possibly need for your vehicle. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there, how did you hear about us, box? So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. For your second listen, you know, there has not been a ton of chatter around the NBA recently, so I'm going to say Locked On Thunder, because Chet Holmgren is balling in Summer League. Holy cow, this dude looks awesome in Summer League. Caveats abound because it's Summer League, but he looks fantastic in every bit of the top two pick that he was in this NBA draft. And speaking of Summer League, the Pacers tip off game numero uno on Friday. They play against Charlotte at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have ESPN2, that is where you'll be able to watch the action for that game. So what is the key stuff to watch in Summer League? Well, first of all, let me talk to you about two steps, two important things you need to know before you watch Summer League. Step one is do not overreact to Summer League, right? There's a lot of crazy stuff that happens in Summer League. These guys are all young or rookies or unproven guys playing against each other. It doesn't mean much. Step two, completely overreact to Summer League. It's the most telling thing ever. It's the most exciting time of the season. There's no expectations. Every player looks amazing. Your team's going to win the championship. All seriousness now to talk about this. Look, Kevin Knox was amazing in Summer League for the Knicks. Amazing. Chris Dunn was incredible for Minnesota in Summer League. Sometimes Summer League means something, right? A lot of times it doesn't. So keep a level head with this stuff and just kind of dig into the nuance more than the stats. It's only 5 games, small sample size can really gunk this stuff up. So really look into, like, last year, to tie this to the Pacers, for example. O'Shea Brissett was playing in Summer League for the Pacers. He played in 2 games, and he was obviously the Pacers' best player in both of those games, and he clearly had a tighter dribble, and he was driving to the basket, and he was just obviously looked better. And they were like, yep, you look improved, you're the best player on the floor, no need to get injured, you're done. They pulled him after 2 games. That is telling to me. That guy looks like a good player who improved over last year and is showing new skills. That matters more than just he scored X number of points in 1 game. He looks great, blah, blah, blah. So that's the kind of stuff I'm looking at. So when I dig in first to the Pacers in Summer League, the biggest story, there is one name that matters for the Pacers in Summer League at the top of all the names. That's Benedict Mathurin. He is the story of Summer League, as Duarte was last year, as the first round pick is for every team for all of time in Summer League. How does this guy look in the Pacers system? I don't know how adjacent to what Rick Carlisle runs it will be. Ronald Norred will be coaching the team. I imagine it'll be pretty similar. How does Mathurin look? How does his athleticism pop compared to his peers? Does his shot look good? Can he create his own shot? Can he navigate pick and rolls? How's his defense? All this stuff that we kind of can guess from his college tape or watching him for like 10 minutes at the end of Summer League practice. But to see it against his peers and against guys better than college competition and against guys who could be in the NBA next year will be so telling. That is the story of Summer League. How does Benedict Mathurin look? Does he look like a 6th overall pick? Does he look awesome? Remember Duarte last year? Looked great. I think he hit 3 buzzer beaters in the first 2 games, had that like 2-handed volleyball spike block. Like Duarte, right away, everybody was like, oh, okay, that's why this guy got picked as high as he did. He looks great. Mathurin, ideally, if you're the Pacers, to feel jazzed, like, yeah, they'll hope that he looks like that, basically. He is the biggest story, undeniably, in Summer League. How does Ben Mathurin look? That will be a lot of what I cover from these summer league performances. You know, I'll probably do like one segment on the game and one segment on what did Ben Mathurin do? Because not only is he the first round pick, he is the Pacers' most important first round pick in 3 decades. Like, he deserves a ton of coverage. He's the story of the Pacers offseason unless they do something crazy. And I will cover him like that in summer league. I think that that has been, you know, the timing of going straight from the draft to free agency makes it really hard to give the juice required to the Benedict Mathurin pick. But I think it needs more, and summer league will be a good time for that because he is the story. But also, Kendall Brown and Andrew Nembhard are part of the story. Still unsigned. You know, who knows what contracts they'll end up with the Pacers. The Pacers have their rights. They're not going anywhere. But they're not signed yet. How do they look? What kind of skills can they show? Nembhard, a lot of people have talked to me highly of. Around the team, got some nice reads with the ball in his hand, can make passes in tight spaces. It's interesting that the skills that everybody talks about with him are point guard skills, but it's also interesting that they're really high on him despite him not kind of fitting, and not fitting in like a bad way, but just being a different mold of player than what they've been targeting a lot this summer with the athleticism and the speed that they've gotten in a lot of other places. He's more methodical and a little slower, and so to see them be... see a lot of people be pretty high on him is interesting to me. I'll be curious how he looks. And Kendall Brown, everybody talks about his athleticism in the same way they talked about Isaiah Jackson's athleticism last summer. So I'll be curious to see what both of those guys look like in summer league. The second biggest story to me behind Ben Mathurin is how do those draft picks, second round picks, all look? Because Nembhard especially, like, he could play for the Pacers this year. Not like a big role, but he should be getting, you know, 40 to 50 games of action and a couple minutes per game. Like, 31 is one pick behind the first round. You got to basically treat him like a first round guy, a little less than at that point. So seeing how much he plays and how well he plays is fascinating to me. And in general, with the rest of the NBA guys who aren't draft picks, you know, there's still a lot to watch with those guys. And those guys are all key parts of the story of the Pacers summer this year. Chris Duarte will be there. Nate Hinton will be there. Isaiah Jackson will be there. Terry Taylor will be there. Dwayne Washington will be there. Well, he'll be there. Who knows if he'll play now. And Gabe York will be there. Gabe York and Nate Hinton coming off two ways with the team. Dwayne and Terry, their standard contracts. Isaiah Jackson and Chris Duarte, their rookie scale deals. Look, with Chris and Isaiah, there's a chance that they are just so good that they should not play the whole time. Like O'Shea last year. You know, being so too good for summer league is a good thing. And showing that skill development is the thing for these guys. Right? When I talk about the story of those players, beyond, you know, looking really good is, do they look better than last year? Do they have a skill they added, like O'Shea with his tighter handle and attacking the basket? Is there something they're doing that last year I said, oh, I don't remember seeing that well? And are they obviously dominant? You know, I think like Isaiah Jackson especially could just pop off the page and look so ridiculous in this setting that he'll be a guy to watch. And so seeing with all these guys how good they are is really important. Like Dwayne Washington last year was really good in summer league. He shot like 50% from three. You know, can any of them look better? Do they add skills? Do they show stuff that, when they're playing for the Pacers and not the Summer League Pacers, and Gabe York and Nate Hinton may not play for the Pacers this year, but the other four guys especially, do they do something that makes you go, oh, wow, you know, if Chris Duarte can handle around a pick and roll or throw a lob, like, wow, that will add a lot to what he's able to do this year. Oh, wow, Isaiah Jackson can hit a 15-foot pull-up jumper, or, oh, wow, Terry Taylor's got a two-dribble pull-up now. Like, all this stuff that, in Summer League, like, a lot of these dudes unleash this stuff. They're kind of playing to show off their skills, but also to improve. You know, can they do this consistently? Do they look better? For the NBA guys who are going to be on the Pacers roster, at least most likely this season, that is the key stuff to watch for me. And then the other storyline with the NBA dudes, Chris's foot. You know, he's not quite 100% yet with the foot injury he suffered during the season. He's been practicing, but unsure about the games. Maybe he doesn't play at all. I'll be curious if he does, how he looks, and if he's able to deal with pain management well. And he could play just like one or two games. That would make a lot of sense to me. See how his foot's doing and then let him sit, let him heal, and get it over with. That seems like the best course of action to me if you're the Pacers, but I'd get not playing him at all, and if he wants to play, whatever. But I think that's a big story too. Can he recover? Because the season is far away, but still, foot things, as evidenced by Sabonis getting a foot injury in the bubble 2 years ago, TJ Warren's long foot injury, Miles Turner's current / recent foot injury, they can be problematic. So Chris Duarte healing is a big thing. And look, this is just a take. I'm going to do a take. I never just fire out takes, but I'm going to do one. Last thing I'm watching from the NBA guys in summer league, I think Isaiah Jackson is going to look like the best player on the court a lot when he plays. Like, basically every minute he's out there, unless there's like some top four pick on the other team, I think he's going to look like the best player on the floor. And I'm curious if that will ring true, and if he does, what that means for his role on the Pacers this coming season. Could he sneak into a starting spot? Could he soak up some big minutes and disrupt what is perceived to be the Pacers rotation this year. I still think he'll play, whether that's just like backup center minutes or not, but if he looks amazing in summer league or he's added some skills, that is noteworthy to me on his development. There's other guys and stuff to watch that aren't NBA level stuff at summer league, and that's what makes summer league so fun. These low expectation games with so many players that are noteworthy to watch is just such a blast. So let's talk about those things. Before we do that though, I want to talk to you guys about Built Bar, who are making the best tasting protein bars ever. They invented healthy and tasty, and now they're bringing you something new. They've got a coconut brownie chunk Built Bar. If you like coconut brownie flavors and you like the puff treatment that Built Bar can provide, a nice marshmallow infusion, this is the flavor for you. It's a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate with that brownie coconut chunk flavor. You got to try it. Stop drooling and listen. They're good for you, but they're also good. They're good, but they're also good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and extremely delicious. My favorite flavor Built Bar has is the peanut butter brownie. The cookie dough is delicious. They have so many good flavors, which is why I love them so much. But they're also good for you, which is the key part of what makes them such a good product and something so many Locked On Pacers listeners have tried and said that they love. They taste amazing. They taste like a candy bar, basically, with that chocolate all over it. But they're actually healthy for you and delicious and filled with important proteins for your body. If you want to try them, go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your order. That promo code, again, is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. For your second listen, let's see. Let's go down to Locked On Grizzlies. Grizzlies are playing in summer league right now as well, and they've got some fun and exciting pieces always. Their scouting department is unbelievable. Hear more about what that team's up to, because that is the building plot the Pacers should follow. Whatever Memphis does, every team in the NBA who's bottoming out should be copying every move that they make or every style of move that they make, if it's even possible. So what else is there to watch in summer league? Beyond the NBA guys, beyond what they look like, beyond their improvement, and beyond overreacting, what else is there? Well, there's actually a pretty subtly big storyline, I think, that's going to happen in summer league that I don't think has happened in the Pacers' ecosystem, sphere, whatever, before. There were four guys who had reported Exhibit 10 contracts about 1 week before free agency with the Pacers. That's Eli Brooks, Fangbo Zhang, Tevin Brown, and Jermaine Samuels. And that might mean nothing to you to hear that there's four guys getting Exhibit 10 deals. But that means a lot to me, someone who is obsessed with team building and this cap stuff. Because, I've explained this before, but I will again in the summer league context. For training camp for NBA teams, 20 guys can come. And usually, an NBA roster is comprised as follows for training camp. 15 guys under contract, under a normal standard contract. Two two-way players, and three Exhibit 10 contracts. And an Exhibit 10 contract, for those unaware, those guys get a bonus if they get cut from the NBA team but then report to the affiliate G League team. So that's how, you know, Terry Taylor had an Exhibit 10 last year, for example. So he got a bonus for playing when he went down to Fort Wayne, and then he got promoted, obviously. So that is what they are. It gives those guys some money, and it lets them come into training camp. But there's usually only three. There's four, which means the Pacers either will have less roster guys than normal, and these guys will be competing for one of those spots, or they'll have the same number of roster guys as normal, and these guys will be competing for a two-way contract spot. And that is very unusual to see guys come in like this competing for a spot. You know, they all have some sort of case. Like, they love having guards on two-ways. They had the three of the four guys they had on two-ways last year between Washington, Hinton, and they had Giroux. I forgot about Giroux. Four of the five. Dejan Giroux, Dwayne Washington, Nate Hinton, and Gabe York. Basically, everybody but Terry Taylor was a guard, right? If you're Eli Brooks, you've got to feel good about that. Maybe he could sneak in and grab one of those two-ways. I remember Chad Buchanan and I were talking last year, over a year ago, and he talked about how they like having guards on two-ways. They like getting that value and seeing what kind of ball handlers they can have grow through their G League program. So maybe Eli Brooks has a shot there. Fangbo Zhang looks like an awesome shooter from what we watch of practice at the end of these summer league practices. And Jermaine Samuels worked out for the team twice in the pre-draft process. Tevin Brown was a very good college player. Like, these guys will all be competing potentially for like a serious spot on the Pacers team. And maybe things change and they get signed to something different, or things don't go as planned in summer league and the offers change. I don't know. But four Exhibit 10 guys is one more than normal. And that's why those guys are a big story to me. How do they look? Do any of them stand out and pop? And I know I already said this last segment, but Dwayne Washington was fantastic in summer league last year. That was really helpful to kind of get the deal for him. But also Kiefer Sykes was good for the Pacers last year in summer league. He was out on an Exhibit 10 deal. He was in camp. He ended up being on the roster during the season. Terry Taylor had an exhibit 10 heading into Summer League. He didn't even play in the Pacers' first two Summer League games and then was really good in their last two games. He also had an exhibit 10, ended up with the Pacers. And all those guys ended up having an impact on the Pacers' season. Like, this stuff matters. How they look in Summer League matters. How they're able to prove themselves ahead of training camp matters. So I don't know if any of them will get a two-way or if they're just fighting for whatever it is. Maybe they're just happy to get the bonus to report to Fort Wayne, but that's also important. If they look good and they go to the Mad Ants and then they play well for the Mad Ants, they could also be promoted by the Pacers at that point. So those four guys in particular are important to watch to me, because if one of them stands out, they have a chance to earn something serious from the Pacers, in theory, given the reported deals and current team construct of the Pacers. I'll be watching out for all those guys and how they look. Are any of them actually good? Can any of them really pop? That will be very, very fascinating to me. The other guys who I haven't even said yet, I should just say who they are. Benny Boatwright, who played for the Mad Ants last year and was a part of the Pacers Summer League team and was really good for 5 minutes and then got injured. David DeLeo from Greece, he's a fantastic shooter as well. He's on this team. Simi Shitu is on this team. He's, I believe, had some sort of NBA experience before, or at least he's been in the ecosystem of the league for a little bit. Those three guys are also on the Pacers Summer League squad. Benny Boatwright will presumably get minutes at the five, but those guys aren't on Exhibit 10 yet and aren't in the NBA sphere, so I'm not going to talk about them too much here, but if they play well, of course, in the Summer League games, they'll be worth watching and talking about going forward. Last thing I want to say with Summer League, and this was more important last year when they were pivoting from Bjorkgren to Carlisle, but what kind of stuff do the Pacers run? Do they run similar stuff? Do they have a similar style to last year's team? Carlisle's teams are a little faster. Tyrese Haliburton's teams should be faster. That's where he thrives, is in transition or in semi-transition with the ball in his hands against a tilted defense. You know, can they get into those? Is that how they're going to play? And can they get into those situations in Vegas? That will be very telling to me for the style they like to play this year. Or with a younger team, do they maybe switch it up to some more basic stuff that these guys can learn the principles before they get more advanced? I would understand that as well. And Ronald Lawrence talked about in these summer league practices, a lot of this stuff is about learning for the Pacers right now. Learning habits, learning sets, learning skills, learning how to be a teammate, or in some guys' cases, a leader. Learning is the name of the game. And to me, wins and losses are important in summer league, sure, but learning is the thing. Like, developing guys, having them learn is the thing. They talked about that a lot after the first practice, and every player has talked about that being really good for the environment they'll be in. So I think that that learning mindset will be interesting to me to see if they run, you know, some complex stuff. Do they run stuff that looks similar to what the Pacers were doing last year? Or is it more dumbed down and more about principles and development and setting these guys up to succeed in a certain way? Because balancing the wins and the development can be kind of tricky in a summer league setting. We'll see. Last year's Pacers were slow starters. They suddenly clicked and boom, they won their last, I think, three games out there in Vegas. We'll see if this team can do something similar. They are extremely talented. They have five, six NBA guys on their team. I don't think they're better than like OKC's team, for example, which is unfair. I mean, OKC's summer league team is insane. There are some pretty good summer league teams out there, but the Pacers are one of the best, and I'll be curious to see how they actually shake out and how they do out in Vegas. And we'll, of course, cover it all here on Locked On Pacers. Their first game is tomorrow for you listening. I obviously can't. Maybe I'll do a weekend pod if the summer league game's amazing, but I think what we'll do for the last show this week is Scott Agnes and I will talk. I've talked to him a lot, just in not, you know, in our media crossovers recently. We'll talk about free agency, what the Pacers did, what it looks like for their future, and things like that. And then next week will be a lot about summer league, and we'll sprinkle in shows when the Pacers make moves or talking about what they could still do this summer. And once their team is really settled, we'll start talking about extensions. Should anyone get a contract extension now that the Pacers roster is completely filled up? We can look to the future of what this roster could look like going forward. So thank you guys a ton for listening. Hope you enjoyed this show. Two topics at the same time with Summer League and some free agency notes. Those will be a lot of the topics going forward, so I really hope you enjoyed, because you're going to be hearing a lot about them going forward. Thanks a ton for listening, and we will see you soon.